Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 7, day 4 of our study of the book of James and 1st and 2nd Peter. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1st Peter 3, 8 through 12. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and if you have any questions or comments and you'd like to reach out to me, I love hearing from and responding to listeners. You can find me, hit me up at my Twitter handle, at Darren Hibbs, or send an email to me at DarrenHibbs.com. That's M-E, me, myself, and I, at DarrenHibbs.com. Or you can go to DarrenHibbs.com and find the contact form there and contact me that way. All right, would you join me as we pray before we get started today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and touch our hearts with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 1 Peter 3, starting verse 8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because this is who you were called, so that you might inherit a blessing. Again, Peter is just so clear. You know, there's no pretense. There's no trying to figure out what he's saying. He's just being very clear. And we just finished up with a very, I want to say controversial. I don't find it controversial, but people throughout history and our culture have made what we read yesterday controversial, verses 1 through 7. And this treatment of women and by men, and it's very difficult. And it actually causes, I know that yesterday there probably were emotions felt with our podcast yesterday, because, you know, things have happened in people's lives and the Bible has been used to justify very negative things, unfortunately. It shouldn't be that way, but people are broken. People are fallen. So that's going to happen. Again, it shouldn't, but it's going to. And so Peter continues on in that same thought when he's talking to men and women, and he's like, finally, he's kind of concluding this idea of men and women. And he's saying, bring it all together and saying, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Don't repay evil with evil, insult, like humble yourself. The ethos of Christianity is not you do what I say because the Bible says I'm in charge. That is just nowhere in Scripture. Nowhere in Scripture can you find that. The ethos of everything in Scripture is this: be like-minded, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Saying to someone, you do what I say because the Bible tells you to, is the opposite of humility. There is nothing Christian in that. There's nothing biblical in that. Absolutely. Just absolutely nothing. In my life with my wife, I have pulled out the, I'm the guy, we're going to do it this way, twice. My wife wasn't super happy about it, but both occasions that I could, might be a stretch to say twice. I know one for sure, early on in our marriage. And I did it because there was someone living with us and I felt it become a safety issue for my wife, and I could no longer trust the person that was living with us. And so I kicked them out. My wife disagreed and I told her, we're doing this. We're absolutely doing this, because I couldn't bear the thought of allowing someone to stay in our house. And in my wife, it was out of her compassion that she wanted the other person to stay. But I couldn't bear the thought of me agreeing with that and letting someone stay that would bring harm to my wife. I think there was a second time that I can't even remember the details of right now, a much lesser extent. But like in 17 years of marriage, I've kind of pulled out that because I'm the guy and I'm saying so once. And I did it because I couldn't bear the thought of the very real opportunity of physical harm to come to my wife. I couldn't live with myself. And so she was very angry at me about that. And she might be even be angry at me about that just for mentioning it here. But one time in 17 years, and I did it for her, not for me. Like, I wasn't afraid of this person, but I was very afraid that this person would hurt my wife. The person had become irrational, was struggling with drug addiction and just a lot of different things. And so the person had become violent with other people. And I was afraid of that person becoming violent with my wife. And so I told the person that they had to go. And again, out of compassion, my wife was not okay with that, but I took the decision away from her. And that's not something I did lightly then, and I wouldn't do it lightly today if the same thing came up. Because most of this ethos of Christianity is submit yourselves one to another. It's not lord it over one another. It's not do it because I said so. It's submit yourselves one to another. Don't repay evil. Like, don't, you know, when someone messes with you, you don't mess back with them. You don't get them back. You bless them. You don't need to insult them. We live in a culture right now, oh, that so needs this passage. We live in a culture right now where it feels normal for people who call themselves Christians to just lobby insults back at each other, to take the eye for the eye. That is just where we are, and it's just so not who we are. God has called us to be something different. He's called us to be a holy people, a set apart people. And part of that is that when people insult us, we don't insult them back. When they do evil to us, we bless them. That's how we look holy. That's how we look set apart. We don't volley insults. We don't chase after people with frivolous lawsuits of nonsense. It's just not who we are. We're supposed to be like-minded as believers and compassionate and humble. And our humility causes us to submit ourselves one to another. Verse 10, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And that's from Psalm 34. Peter is using that as kind of his proof text for all that he's saying here. Is that, listen, and again, like we said yesterday, women have a great privilege. The Lord has given this weaker sex a very high and lofty privilege, and that is, if their man ain't doing right, they tell God about it, and God won't listen to their prayers. And again, he's reiterating that here in verse 12 with this quotation from Psalm 34. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and he hears their prayers. But if you are behaving unrighteously, that whole prayer thing, it doesn't work out as well. And this is the fascinating and crazy thing about prayer in the first place, is we get to ask God for things that we want, and he will actually do them sometimes. He actually does things that we ask him to do sometimes. And this is something that every single believer should experience. I've talked about this on the podcast before, but it necessitates you asking for specific things. It sounds good to pray that God would bless the surgeon's hands, but how do you know that God bless the surgeon's hands or if you just got a good surgeon? You know, so you have to be able to pray specific prayers. Lord, I need this to happen. This is going wrong and I need this to change. Being very specific about the situation and the outcome that you want. because we always want an outcome. So we might as well be honest with the Lord and tell him what we want. There's no, I mean, what is it going to hurt? And I'll tell you that the amazing thing is when you tell the Lord the situation, what you think of it and what you want done, sometimes the Lord actually does it exactly as you ask. He really will. It may not happen often, but when he does it, it will absolutely change your life. And I just wonder, when you read the stories in the book of Acts, I just wonder if that's not how most of these Christians lived on a regular basis. Like if they knew what it looked like to see God answer very specific prayers in amazing, miraculous ways. I think this passage about God not hearing their prayers was hopefully much more painful to them. I think it means a lot less to a lot of believers today because they've never been told. And it's not that there's anything wrong with you per se. It's just you've never been told to pray specific prayers so that you can see God comes through in specific ways. Because when he comes through in specific ways, it will ignite your faith. Oh my gosh, it is so exhilarating to know and to see firsthand and to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is a God in heaven who heard you. And even though you didn't deserve it, he cared and he answered you the way you asked. This is a powerful thing. And I believe that to Peter and to these people, it really meant something to them that God would say, you get on the bad side of your wife and I won't hear your prayers. I think that was actually terrifying to Peter. I think it was terrifying to the people he wrote it to. And I think it should be terrifying to us. And the corollary here is what's being said is the righteous, you know, God sees them and he hears their prayers. And the opposite of that is, hey, the very next verse, I'm against the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You get on the bad side of your wife. You are not walking in humility. You are not doing all of these things that in verses 8 and 9, Peter talks about. This is the result for you. And I don't think necessarily that the psalmist or Peter here is saying people who aren't saved, but people who are doing evil, people who are sinning against one another, the Lord will turn his face against them and fight against them and not hear their prayers. That should be terrifying to us. I think it really was terrifying to them. I don't know that for a fact, but I imagine based on the stories that we see in the book of Acts, the way that Peter lived, just the lifestyles that they had, the things that they saw, I think it was terrifying to them. It's my opinion that it scared them, the idea of God not answering their prayers, God not hearing their prayers because of the evil that they'd done to other people. So because of that, do not find yourself in a position where anyone can go to the Lord in prayer and say, hey, this person has wronged me and then be right. Okay, there's going to be people who will accuse us falsely. We just read about that. In the last chapter, there's going to be people who are going to falsely accuse us and they can go to God all they want. God's going to be like, no, you got it wrong. But you don't want to be in the position where someone can go to the Lord and talk to them and say, hey, this guy, they wronged me. You don't want to be in that position because the Lord's going to say, okay, all right, I'll get their attention. I'll stop answering their prayers. First of all, we need to be people who learn to pray specific prayers so we can see specific answers. So we actually know what it's like to have the Lord answer our prayers, to actually know what it's like to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's a God in heaven who hears us. It's so powerful. And many of you listening to me, you know what that feels like. But a lot of you, you're listening to what I'm saying, and I might be as well talking Greek. I have experienced it so many times, and I know so many people who've experienced it so many times, but I also know that it's very rare in our culture. It is not normative in the United States church. And I encourage, if you're hearing this and you're like, I have no idea what he's talking about, I encourage you, change your prayer life. Start asking the Lord specific things. Situations and things that you would pray about that come up, ask him, tell him exactly what you think about them. Lord, this guy sucks. I don't like him. I want you to do something about him. And I want you to change this. And I want you to give me this, this, and this, and be specific. I mean, the people that are irritating, you might as well just tell the Lord honestly how you feel about them. What I've found a lot of times is the Lord answers my prayer specifically. And in the process of this really cruddy person that I'm really irritated with, The Lord answers my prayer, gives me exactly what I want, and softens my heart to that person and shows me that, hey, I'm working on them too. They're not as bad as you think they are. Yes, they're sinful. Yes, they did this against you, but I love them too. Leave them alone. The Lord is so amazing at getting to our hearts when we just tell him the truth of what's on our hearts. When we tell him really what we want. You probably had people teach you to pray or model for you to pray for the surgeon's hands, but I want you to stop. Go hire the best surgeon, but go to the God who heals and ask him for exactly what you want. In your job, when your boss is being a jerk, tell the Lord, hey, my boss is being a jerk, God. I need you to do this, this, and this. And be specific. And the Lord may not always answer. He may not always answer the way that you ask, but you are going to be amazed when he does. And if it's a vast minority of the time, I promise you it will energize you to pray like that all the time. Because if it happened 1 in 10, 1 in 100, even 1 in 1,000 times that you pray, 1 in 1,000 times you pray, the Lord answers specifically, you will be a changed and different person. And then all of a sudden, the idea that your wife can hinder your prayer will terrify you because you have seen the Lord answer your prayer and you know what that feels like and you don't want to live without it. That is who we are as believers. I love this passage, but we've gone over again today and that's all the time we have. So for the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.